This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart. The Leslie Lohman Museum of Art is a living archive of queer history. Ever since its conception in the 1960s, the museum, which is in Soho, has amassed an art collection of over 25,000 pieces. Each piece tells a unique story about the LGBTQ experience, and no single piece of art there is the same. A new exhibit at the museum embraces this ethos. It's called I'm a Thousand Different People, Everyone is Real. It's a quote from the iconic trans entertainer Candy Darling from the 1960s. She was a muse of the Velvet Underground and even starred in Andy Warhol's films. Just like Candy's quote, this exhibit contains multitudes. It features a series of digital art. There's oil paintings, sculptures, photographs, just to name a few. It's a beautiful mosaic of artistic expression. And with us today to talk about the exhibit is its head curator, Stamatina Gregory. Hi, Stamatina.
Hi.
And we've also got artists Carlos Mata and Angela Dufresne, whose works are part of the exhibition. Hi, both. Welcome to All of It.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
So let's dive right into the exhibit. The first thing you see when you enter the exhibit is a piece of yellow legal paper hanging on the wall. It's drawn by Candy Darling, and there are sketches of women wearing dresses. On top of the page, she writes the words, "A thousand people, everyone is real." So Stamatina, when you first saw this piece of legal paper, did you know this quote would be the centerpiece of the exhibit?
When this piece entered our collection, which had been sometime about 18 months ago, I did not know that. I actually, you know, the conceiving of this exhibition came a short while after the piece entered our collection. And really, the way in which it came together in terms of, you know, looking at that piece, thinking about the significant evolution and shifts in how we conceive of and build our collection at the museum, you know, thinking about how we diversify and add to, as you said, the 25,000 objects in our collection, which, you know, is very unusual for a small museum. Really, this show of recent acquisitions came from a desire to kind of communicate our collecting practice, which has really evolved over the past few years, which really has like expanded definitions of queerness, queer art, what folks are making, and how we are building community through curating.
And can you tell me
when the show was conceived? Oh, go ahead.
No. Can you tell me a little bit more about who Candy Darling was?
So Candy Darling was a Warhol muse. That's what she was best known for, but was also a celebrity in her own right. She grew up in Long Island. She moved to Greenwich Village when she was around 17. She met Warhol in 1967, and Warhol cast her in several of his films. And she was Darling, you know, in her time in the mid to late 60s, the early 70s, she was kind of like an aesthete incarnate, right? Like kind of in a lineage of queer people, trans folks that were out in public life and was like really kind of negotiating, I think, this identity. And I, together with the other curators of the exhibition, my former associate curator, Noam Parnes, and our current collections manager, Judy Guerra, were looking at this piece and thinking, okay, we want this piece to be in the show. And, you know, that really believing that at that moment in Candy's scrawl on this yellow piece of legal paper, that it was, you know, we had to all of, you know, thinking about the queer archive is always an exercise in speculation, right? You will never know exactly. You have only fragments of works and thoughts from like our elders and our communities, right? And so, but we had to imagine that she was thinking about negotiating this identity publicly and privately and all of the demands for authenticity and particular ways of being that are demanded currently of queer and trans people. Candy was negotiating that also and saying, you know what? I am many. I am a multitude. I am 1,000 different people.
And
all
you know,
of us are real.
We hear and see this in a lot of different ways in the exhibit. Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about a new multimedia art exhibit at Leslie Lohman Museum of Art in Soho. It's titled, I'm 1,000 Different People, Everyone is Real. We're here with Stamatina Gregory, the curator, Carlos Mata, and Angela Dufresne, who are two of the artists. Carlos, I'd love to get into your work. You have two works exhibited. Both are video installations, and both feature one individual. The individual's name is Tiamat Legion Medusa. Can you tell us a bit more about how you met Tiamat?
Yes, again, thank you for having me. I met Tiamat randomly at a gay bar in Los Angeles in 2019. And Tiamat is somebody who is hard to miss when they enter the room, because they have a striking physique. Tiamat has been undergoing several body transformations to become the mythological creature of the dragon. So that is the person that I became friends with and started to collaborate with on these two works that are in view in the exhibit.
You know, what really compelled me about Tiamat was from the one video that explains its life. Tiamat, who goes by it, its pronouns, heavily modified its body, horns poking out of its head, tattoos of scales all over its skin. Can you talk us through this transformation? The exhibit calls it a metamorphosis.
Yeah, well, it would be better for Tiamat to do that itself, of course, but from the perspective of the story, as it was told to me by Tiamat, Tiamat is interested in not dying in the body of a human being because it has faced so many challenges as a human in the world. So Tiamat is interested in creating a new sense of body relationship and identification that renounces the constraints and the kind of normative categorizations of gender and others in the world. So these transformations are really an attempt at protesting the ways in which it is experiencing life as we know it and creating a different relationship that draws from myths and from fantasy and from just a kind of self-realization that will become something different.
When you first... Yeah, sorry, please go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that the work is titled When I Leave This World, and this is a quote directly from Tiamat in the work, where it is saying that when I leave this world, I don't want to die in the body of a human.
You know, those words that you said, Tiamat, say to you, I have the quote here. It's, I did not want to die as a human because of the pain and suffering that humans have done to me in this life. When you first heard Tiamat say those words, how did that sit with you?
I mean, I think it's, of course, a painful realization to understand the ways in which Tiamat, as somebody who has defined itself as in a different kind of experience of life through identification and gender expression and body expression and so on, it just reinforces the ways in which otherness is constantly sidetracked and marginalized and discriminated in our societies. So I think that this work is an attempt at, you know, centering the ways in which difference should be a possibility and not a negation.
And walk us through the video a little bit. Tell us about what we see, how that echoes the emotional and, you know, cerebral experience that you wanted viewers to have.
So there are two videos that make this work. The first one is a performance for video that Tiamat and I did together. It is a two-person performance with the assistance of some people who assisted with the suspensions. One of them is a suspensions by hook. Tiamat is an experienced performer doing suspensions by hook. That means that it has performed pierced suspensions in its body. So one of them is, the video presents Tiamat being suspended by 10 hooks all in the front of its body. It is a kind of documentation of the action, but with a poetic and musical twist. So it kind of allows you to imagine the ways in which transcending gravity or transcended being in the world would feel like for Tiamat. At the point in which Tiamat is already suspended in the air, I join in a suspension by bondage, which is something I had done performatively as well. So that video results in both of us being suspended in the air in different ways. And the other piece is a more documentary style video portrait where Tiamat tells its story from childhood to the present, and also reflecting upon its work as a performer, its relationship to its family, and ultimately also its relationship to the form of suspension as a way of thinking about pain and the transcendence of pain, both in a kind of allegorical way, but also in a literal way. So both pieces together make a kind of double portrait of the artist.
And Stamatina, when you experienced these videos and, Tiamat's experience, what was your thought? Why were you drawn to it to include in this exhibit?
I have been familiar with Carlos's work for many years. I think Carlos, how long have we known one another? Maybe 18 years.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. And we have worked together in the past, and I was, Carlos had told me over lunch one day about this, meeting Tiamat and kind of the extraordinary being that Tiamat is, and I had really been looking forward to experiencing this piece. And when I did, and I saw it together with my director here at the museum, Alyssa Mitchin, after seeing it and being incredibly moved, we mutually agreed, this is a work that needs to be in our collection, in part because it really, stretches this notion of queerness and queer liberation and bodily autonomy beyond, precisely beyond the ways in which we often articulate it, in terms of human rights, in terms of the human, in terms that kind of evolve around particular conceptions of the politics of body, right? For us, this was queerness stretched and expanded beyond the human, in a way that is incredibly interesting and thought-provoking, aside from the fact that it is a beautiful, beautifully made video and incredibly moving. And folks that have visited the exhibition, this is one of the most talked about works in the exhibition. And so many people have come to us, have come to our visitor experience people, talking about how moved they were by the piece. And so, of course, when we put the exhibition together, we had to include it.
And can you tell me more about what moves visitors to the exhibit about the piece? I myself watched it and I was moved. I can tell you that idea of what you were talking about, Stamatina, about seeing not just pain, but the body shaped beyond ways in which we originally think about it every day in with just music and watching this almost acrobatic dance was very moving for me at least. What was it that you're hearing from other folks, especially in relation to the exhibit as a whole? What emotions do you find it brings up for people?
I think for some folks, people have talked about how rarely the art moves them to tears in a contemporary art space. And Tiamat talking about its life, of course, the way in which it tells its story is, you really feel like you were there experiencing this level of pain and also experiencing forms of joy, right? There is also something to practices of bondage, suspension, piercing and needle play, all of which are, very intently on display in this work, right? You are very close to these bodies that are undergoing this kind of pain and also a kind of pleasure and joy. And to even watch it, I think elicits a kind of somatic experience in people.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about a new multimedia art exhibit at Leslie Lohman Museum of Art in Soho. It's titled, I'm a Thousand Different People, Everyone is Real. We're here with the curator, Stamatina Gregory, I'm sorry about that, I mispronounced it, Carlos Mata and Angela Dufresne. Angela, thank you so much for being patient while we talk about some of the work here, but I would love to get to your work as well, because right across from Carlos's work is Angela's. It's a pretty large oil painting on a horizontal canvas. It's mostly a pale, light green color, and you see two figures. One is sitting in front of a TV as he is holding a remote control, and the other is a woman standing further away, ironing clothes and looking at him. Angela, can you share the title of your work? It's long and has a full name to it.
thanks for having me, and I could listen to these two talk all day, so there's no patience involved. It's actually a very early version of an iPhone. It's like an iPhone 1 or something like that. It's not actually a remote control. And it's basically me and my gay husband. I'm going to insert in there that I'm not a big fan of gay marriage. Jeff Chadsey, actually, I'm not going to verbatim remember the title of this painting, but it's in The Man Who Fell to Earth. It's a film that as a queer person, I was struck by because, so it's David Bowie as an alien that comes to Earth and is trying to accomplish a mission that's very much a ecological mission, and fails miserably because he gets kind of sucked into the vortex of mediated personality construction in the mid-70s television era. He gets kind of lost. He loses the memo. And I was like really interested in that as someone who, growing up in the Midwest, inherited a very tedious version of kind of heteronormativity, and sort of seeing Bowie, who was an absolute icon of mine, jumping on my brother's bed, listening to Changes One over and over and over again as a teenager, was like many a lifesaver. But witnessing this film felt more than just that kind of fangirl experience. It felt like witnessing somebody who was unable in a way to eject themselves from the cycle of the normative construction psychologically of the apparatus, of mediated apparatus. And so I sort of made a painting about it. It's something else more, but I made many paintings about it during this series, I guess you could say. I'm still making paintings about it, which encapsulates the kind of studio and the domestic space, and it conflates the two into a generative space where different kinds of familiar structures can be embodied, in particular like queer expanded notions of family. So I did a series of multiple paintings about non-normative family structures.
Angela, let me pause you right there. We're going to take a quick break, but I want to dive more into it. We're talking about the new multimedia art exhibit at Leslie Lohman Museum of Art in Soho. It's I'm a Thousand Different People, Everyone is Real. We have the curator, we have artists on here. When we come back, I want to dive more into this piece and kind of look at it as a whole at the exhibit. This is all of it. We'll be back. Stay with us. This is all of it from Allison Stewart. This is all of it from WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Well, this is all of it from WNYC. I'm Kusha Navidar. We got a lot of people that we got to talk to today.
You're a million people all in one.
We all contain multitudes, folks. This is wonderful. We're talking about a new multimedia art exhibit at Leslie Lohman Museum of Art in Soho. It's I'm a Thousand Different People, Everyone is Real. Maybe I'm channeling that right now. We're here with guest Stamatina Gregory, who's the curator, Carlos Mata, who's who's one of the artists, as well as Angela Dufresne, who's also one of the artists. Angela, before the break, you mentioned that idea of heteronormative conformity that you experienced in the Midwest. And it's interesting because in the opening blurb of the exhibit, there's a line that I want your reaction to. It's saying, quote, "We are in a sociopolitical moment in which queerness and transness are expected to conform to cisnormative and heteronormative standards of authenticity." Can you talk a little bit about your artwork, how it recreates but also transmutes a domestic suburban theme with relation to what that quote is?
Well, I don't know if it transmits that suburban theme. Maybe this one does. I think to a certain extent it has to do with the fact that queer emancipation becomes more and more about a kind of indoctrination or an assimilation into normal social structures. There have been much meaningful advocacy for a more flexible, generative, and expansive way of living and caring and supporting for each other that aren't necessarily the conventional notions of marriage and property ownership and nation state and things like that, has, as access becomes more readily available to queer folk, has been the kind of accepted notion of success and prospering. We, the archive was mentioned before, and many of the citations in that painting are from archives that are artists that not only would have never embraced those kinds of normative modalities, but that to a certain extent are being forgotten, that I want to look at as ways of living that are different than the kind of normative attitude that is imposed on all of us, that is so limiting and extractive.
And Samantina, is there any other artwork in the exhibit that you'd like to shout out that you think kind of fits into these themes particularly well?
There are so many. But first of all, I just want to say I'm so thrilled, Andy, to have your work in the show and to have your work in our collection after you've been kind of part of the fabric of the museum for so long, and this piece is really extraordinary. I mean, so many of the works, it's very hard to come up with a theme for a show of recent acquisitions, right? Which, you know, by its kind of nature has a sort of biennial format in which you have something that, you know, holds a theme that is very expansive. But, you know, Candy's quote and this theme really kind of encapsulates this kind of struggle that queer and trans communities are in at the moment. The more you think about it, the more you can read it into so many of these works. For example, Tommy Ka, an incredible artist who works primarily in photography, who works between Brooklyn and his hometown of Memphis. We have two works from a series of works that he made in collaboration with...
I'm going to have to pause it there. I'm so sorry, but I hope that folks can go check that out. It's a new multimedia art exhibit at Leslie Lohman Museum of Art in Soho. It's called 1,000 Different People. Everyone is real.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.